This is the seventh in the series, So You Want to Know What a Priest Does and Experience? Just Listen. It is in conjunction with the Year of the Priest, and what we are trying to do is to look at various priests who really reflect the multi roles and dimensions of the priesthood. And by doing so, to show the excitement of being a priest. Today I have chosen Monsignor Jack Egan, a dear friend, a Chicagoan, and one who was inspiring to many, especially the poor in Chicago. I read from his obituary. Soon after Chicago's Archbishop Cardinal Francis E. George was installed in May 1997, he hosted a reception for the archdiocesan clergy. Although a native of Chicago, George is a member of the Oblates of Mary Immaculate and had spent much time away from Chicago. He knew only a handful of priests. When the reception ended, a staff member asked him, "Well, how did you like it?" "I enjoyed it," the future cardinal answered. "I met Jack Egan." On May 19th, Monsignor Jack Egan, the priest whose battles for social justice, racial equality, and a strong Catholic commitment to urban ministry made him one of America's best known and admired priests, died of the cardiovascular disease that had plagued him for two decades. While the 84-year-old priest could barely breathe that day, it is typical that he had talked about getting up to attend the ordination of 10 new archdiocesan priests that morning at Holy Name Cathedral, where he had lived since 1982. Though Egan in private would pointedly criticize some church developments or admissions and churchmen's actions, he was fiercely loyal. "I've survived. I've hung in there," he told a reporter in an interview a few years ago. "I love being a priest. It's been a great life. I love working the curb outside the church after Mass. I don't like calculated moments." But Father Jack did more than work the curb. According to Father Robert McLaughlin, pastor of the cathedral, he was the city's conscience. In fact, his influence spread far beyond the vast archdiocese. It cultivated seeds of social activism that would attack and, in some cases, break down barriers of racism across the country. Born in New York City in 1916, he came to Chicago as a child. After a few years of study at DePaul University, he entered the Archdiocesan Seminary and was ordained in 1943. During his seminary years, he came under the influence of the legendary Monsignor Rennell Hillenbrand, who transformed seminary education in America. Hillenbrand, in turn, admired the work of the Belgian priest, Canon, later Cardinal Joseph Chardin, founder of the Young Christian Workers and Young Christian Students movements. Eager would serve both as chaplain. Cardin personally influenced Egan on social Catholic issues. The other main sources of personal inspiration that shaped Egan were Pat and Patty Crowley, founders of the Catholic Family Movement, CFM, and Saul Alinsky, a maverick community organizer. Egan and the Crowleys were products of the Catholic Action Movement, brought together through the pre-Cana and Cana conferences and Egan's chaplaincy of both. Alinsky, author of the pivotal book Revel for Radicals, contacted Egan through his friend Jacques Maritain, the famous French convert and Thomist philosopher who taught briefly at the University of Chicago. Alinsky and Egan initiated a friendship that would last until Alinsky's death in 1972. Alinsky strengthened Egan's resolve. "Make up your mind, Jack," Alinsky said, "whether you want to be a priest or a bishop. All other decisions will flow from that one." Not many years later, the priest took on the powerful Richard J. Daley and the University of Chicago, both with deep pockets and media influence. The issue was race. It was a sad chapter in the histories of a great mayor and a great university. Egan was virtually isolated and polarized. He lost the battle, but he ultimately won the war. Jack Egan was the Archdiocesan Director of the Office of Urban Affairs from 1958 until 1969. Under Cardinal Samuel Strich and Albert Meyer, his work flourished, but when the autocratic Cardinal John Cody arrived, Egan's budget dried up. He was assigned to the ailing Presentation Parish on Chicago's west side. In 1965, Egan marched to Selma with the Reverend Martin Luther King, Jr. The picture of the two clergymen facing obvious danger inspired other clergy to join the ranks. "It was issues like that which kept me in the priesthood," he would recall years later. In 1970, during a chance meeting at Chicago's O'Hare Airport, Holy Cross Father Theodore Hesburgh, president of the University of Notre Dame, invited Egan to South Bend, Indiana, where he served as an assistant to the president and director of the Institute for Pastoral and Social Ministry. When Cardinal Joseph Bernardin was named archbishop, he asked Egan to return to Chicago. Egan served as director of the Office of Ecumenism and Human Relations until 1986. At 70, he retired from the office and went to DePaul to work on urban issues. Egan served for two terms on the National Catholic Reporter Board of Directors and was on numerous other boards until age and infirmity forced his retirement. He continued, however, to speak and to write letters to bishops, politicians, newspapers, and other publications. The letters were always pointed, and the phone calls were perfectly aimed. He always gave his targets some wiggle room. At his death, he was organizing opposition to the payday loan sharks who lend money to poor people at exorbitant rates of interest in anticipation of a paycheck. A $100 7-day loan can easily cost $140. Egan loved his priesthood, but often stated that what sustained him in his vocation was the laity. He worked with local and national groups and, with his capacity for remembering names, stayed close to many people. He lived long enough to see much of his work recognized. He was the recipient of over a half a dozen honorary degrees, including one from Notre Dame and one from DePaul. He received numerous awards from unions and other organizations. "I wanted to succeed," he said. "I wanted to be wanted. Now that I have achieved everything I set out to achieve, I'm left with the question of whether or not I've become a holy person. I am not all that sure." Having known Jack Egan, he was very instrumental in helping me write my first book, called me personally and told me what he was going to do about the endorsement and whether I liked it or not. That was Jack Egan. Jack Egan was also very instrumental in gathering a group of us researchers early on in my career in research. And it was then that I met the Lilly Foundation and Fred Hoffheitz, and we were able to do the study which predicted the shortage of priests. It was not accepted well. In fact, it ran into a buzzsaw, but that was part of what you might say Jack Egan's way of doing things too. He was always running into buzzsaws. Thanks to him, a lot of people have been inspired, a lot of people helped, especially the poor. He was very instrumental in urban renewal and trying to get people who were less than fortunate to at least have a fair deal. He was a champion of justice, and he was, yes, a man who, once he got your name, remembered it. It's interesting that in this obituary, which was written by Tim Unsworth, that he mentions the idea of having a great memory for names. I have known him, and I have known Ted Hesburgh, and Ted Hesburgh again, the president of Notre Dame. Once he knew your name, it was there forever. And that is very important in priestly ministry. It is also a gift. Some people can remember, others, no matter what, it's very difficult. End of story.